Praise God.
Oh, Amy. I missed the call from Amy. Okay. All right, we're dealing with technical issues, but we're just going to praise God because he is an awesome God, and he's a worthy God to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We got our sister Amy back. Amy, I'm trying to put you in.
Listen, I'm going to stay on the phone for a good 7 minutes, and then I'm going to hang up and call back because my phone is messed up where I can't get a charge while the phone is plugged up, so I have to turn it off. So I'll go ahead and do 10 minutes with you, so go ahead.
Oh, you can't charge it when you're on the phone?
Girl, I'm telling you, I want you to believe I'm under serious attack now. They are controlled all my electronic devices severely where I am no longer administrator over things that I own with my name on them. That's how severe they're trying to send a subliminal message, like they're taking things over from me.
Wow.
Well, you can imagine why would they do this in 3 weeks, all the people in America are going to find out about this technology through the city of Richmond. So you can imagine why they're attacking me, because they're getting ready to adopt the House resolution of Berkeley.
Mm.
You don't know how much I done worked hard to help TIs for this moment, for all of them, for everybody to achieve victory. You know, we've been working hard for this moment. And so these individuals are trying to stop. They're trying to discourage me, but they know it ain't going to stop me.
Right.
They hacking on electronic devices. I get an email. I go get on the email. I go get different things deal with electronic devices. I tried to wire my son some money to the prison. They hacked on the Western Union system, so I couldn't transfer the money to his account. That's the type of stuff these Caucasians do with this technology, because they want to try to discourage you, and then they want to make your family members think that you can't do something simple. And now, lately, I noticed they're putting a virus on my throat to try to control my speech.
Mm.
When I'm speaking, I will break out in the form of a cough while speaking.
Well, you know what? We're on the tape. The Block Talk started, so we're going to put some prayer on that.
Right.
We're going to declare and decree that... You know, you've worked so hard, Amy, and you've done so much, and we know that everything is going to work out. You have put so much into this that any attempt, we believe they'd have messed up the talk show.
Well, you know why they're doing it, because me and you, in other words, if me and you was over here arguing, going back and forth, they wouldn't mess with your talk show. They kept messing with your talk show because you is on the right side in the winning side of the team, on the winning team, which is with God, and them demons know that. So they want to try to see what they can do to intercept or encourage you when they know they can't.
It's called having too much power.
How would they think? Our power didn't come from them. The God they serving, which is Satan, powers came from our Creator. So now what?
Mm. Yeah. Ridiculous. They wait until I started my Blog Talk to literally try to stop me from taping on talk show. Block Talk is only half an hour, so I need the talk show. Devil is a liar. That's all I could say. and I rebuke every obstacle that's trying to get in the way, because we are going to study the book of Jeremiah. We're going to leave here with better understanding and knowledge than what we came here with. And I just give all praises to God, because I know it will be according to God's will. So I just thank him. God, we just thank you for this time together. Despite the obstacles trying to give the technical difficulties here, we know that you're an awesome God and a God of miracles. I decree and declare that this program will not be sabotaged. It will not continue to not open, that the word of God will be discussed, that we will move forward, that we will become better warriors in the kingdom of God by studying and application of the word of God. So God, we thank you, God, for using Jeremiah and every other prophet that you used from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Give us knowledge, to give us, to further our knowledge and understanding of your supernatural power, of your supernatural accomplishments, of your awesomeness, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you for bringing us through another week. We can come together, a unified group of people, to praise and exalt your name and say thank you. We thank you, God, for each and every one of our parents. We Amy's mother, Ann's mother, my mother, our sister Elka, my trees, and all of our elders and all of the other mothers. We thank you, God, for allowing us to see another Mother's Day. We thank you, God, for bringing us to a point, God, where we have a thirst and yearning for your word. We thank you, God, for targeted individuals that know that there's no other way but through the grace of God, through God, to break the shackles associated with this horrific harassment program, terrorism program. We bind it up in the name of Jesus. We bind up the spirit of targeting. We bind up the spirit of harassment. We bind up the spirit of electronic torture. We bind up the spirit of sabotage. We bind up the spirit of a false phenomenon of supremacy. We bind up the spirit of eugenics, genocide, plotting and planning to hurt people, using the medical system to depopulate. We bind that stuff up, and we call God's word to reign over this earth and God's people to come together to break that curse. We bind up every curse demons have put together to try to usurp authority on this earth that they do not have, to fool mankind, to deceive. We bind that spirit up, every Satanist in governance positions, to be brought down, to be exposed, for God's work and God's word to reign across this earth. We're here to let the devil know he is a liar. We stand on God's word and God's promises. He is an awesome God, that he's a sovereign God, and that things will, are going to, and will continue to turn around. Bind up every curse the devil has put out here. We bind up this spirit in, with them using talk show right now. This is right now, Heavenly Father, we need you to open up these lines for this program that we need this link to, that's trying to sabotage the study.
This conference is being recorded.
One of your prophets, Heavenly Father, open up the windows of heaven. We need that room open in the name of Jesus. Demon spirit of jealousy, a demon spirit of hatred. We're getting many downloaders and many people learning the word of God, reading about the word of God. They're downloading the material. All sites. This is the site these demons are trying to shut down. Satan, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. I call this site opened in the name of Jesus. God, I praise you. I exalt your name, Heavenly Father. I thank you, God, for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. I thank you, God, for praying TIs. Thank you, God, that our bloodlines will be blessed. Our children will be blessed, our nieces, our nephews. I thank you, God, that every curse these demons have put out here will have no effect on us as we stay under the blood of the Most High God. God, we give you praise, we give you glory, we thank you. We honor you, Heavenly Father, Jesus. Okay, yes, I'm being blocked from TalkShoe, but that's okay because it will open up. And I thank you, God, that there are other avenues that I could do my taping, and the taping will be uploaded to TalkShoe after. But that's a direct response because on TalkShoe, you get to literally see how many people are downloading your call. And last week, I had more than what is average. I had quite a few downloaders. That means Bible study programs, other people are listening to these lessons. So they deliberately blocked TalkShoe from opening. I mean, this is such a sick program that, you know, the envy level. I mean, you can't even do volunteer work without being envied. Isn't that sickening? You have to be a really demon from the pit of hell, but I bind that demon spirit up in the name of Jesus. So, okay, tonight we are looking at the book of Jeremiah. We are studying the major prophets, and we looked at Isaiah, and we looked at Jeremiah, and we will again look at Jeremiah tonight. I'm going to do a summary form, and then I'll read from the Bible Institute. The name of the Bible Institute is TESOLMinistry.com. That's T-E-S-O-L, ministry.com. We'll read a summary online about the book of Jeremiah, and thereafter we'll go to the actual lesson. The purpose of this is to look at it from different perspectives to get a better understanding of the summary of the book of Jeremiah. All right, with the single exception of the book of Isaiah, which contains the works of more than one prophet, the book of Jeremiah is the longest of the prophetic books of the Old Testament. I didn't know that. That means Jeremiah is the longest book. Jeremiah contains a considerable amount of material of a biographical and historical nature in addition to the prophet's own words. This material is especially valuable because it reveals the personality of the prophet more clearly than any of the other prophetic books reveal their writer's personalities. Furthermore, the text provides information concerning the more important events in Jeremiah's career. Jeremiah's life and teachings had a profound effect on the future development of both Judaism and Christianity. In the New Testament, many passages indicate that both Jesus and Paul not only accepted certain ideas from Jeremiah, but gave them a central place in their own interpretations of the meaning of religion. For this reason, along with others, Jeremiah is often regarded as the greatest of the Hebrew prophets. The period in which Jeremiah lived and worked was one of the most critical in Hebrew history. His public ministry began during the reign of King Josiah and lasted until sometime after the fall of Jerusalem and the beginning of the Babylonian captivity. He encountered strong opposition from King Jehoiakim and King Zedekiah, and on more than one occasion his life was threatened. After the fall of Jerusalem, the Babylonians permitted him to remain in his homeland. Many of his fellow countrymen were taken into captivity. Later, he was taken to Egypt against his will by a group of exiles who found it necessary to flee Jerusalem for their own safety. In Egypt, Jeremiah died after a long and troublesome career. The collection of writings that make up the book of Jeremiah includes oracles, addresses, prayers, and exhortations, all of which were spoken by the prophet himself, arranged without any reference to either topical or chronological order. The text is written with materials that, though relevant to Jeremiah's work, were contributed by other persons. We shall attempt only a brief summary. I'll give a brief summary of the more important ideas set forth in Jeremiah's teaching. The book begins with an account of Jeremiah's call to be a prophet. These passages are written from the perspective of Jeremiah's later years, when it seemed clear to him that even before Jeremiah was born, Yahweh had a plan or purpose for him to fulfill. Jeremiah's earliest prophecies, like those of Zephaniah, are believed to be concerned with the threatened invasion of Judah by the Scythians. He felt that his country would be completely devastated as proper punishment for the sins that its citizens committed. That his predictions in this respect were not fulfilled, were seized upon by his critics, that he was a false prophet, because they didn't come into pass immediately. One of the important events that took place a few years after Jeremiah began his prophetic work was the discovery of the law book in the temple at Jerusalem. This book, the main part of what we now call the book of Deuteronomy, it was declared to be the word of Yahweh, and King Josiah made it part of the law of the land. For a time, Jeremiah was enthusiastic about King Josiah's decision. The laws were intended not only to correct many of the social injustices that prevailed in the land, but also to protect the worship of Yahweh from contamination by the evil influences of heathen forms of worship. That sounds like the day we're in today. The law was intended not only to correct many of the social injustices. That is what law was created for. Social injustices that prevailed in the land, but also to protect the worship of Yahweh. And that's what we're fighting today, to protect the worship of God. These people don't even want you to pray in school. So we're really reliving the Bible. The laws were intended not only to correct many of the social injustices that prevailed in the land, but also to protect the worship of Yahweh from contamination by the evil influences of heathen forms of worship. It was hoped, and apparently with good reasons, that the enforcement of these laws would spark a great and sorely needed reformation. Jeremiah observed the situation both before and after the new laws were introduced. He became convinced that the conduct of the people was no better under these laws than it had been before, an observation that led to some very important consequences in Jeremiah's conception of religion and its purpose in the lives of the people. The reason for the failure of the Deuteronomic Reformation was to be found not in the character of the laws, but in the motives that were dominant in the lives of the people. The prophet's conception of human nature is well expressed in his statement, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil." Humans are so constituted that they follow their desires rather than their interests. For this reason, they cannot change their evil ways until they experience a change of heart. Furthermore, Jeremiah contended that humans cannot change their nature by themselves. Such reform can occur only through cooperation with Yahweh. And Yahweh can act on human hearts only when the humans recognize their need for it. Without this inner transformation in human nature, all reform movements are destined to fail. After leaving his hometown of Anathoth to live in the city of Jerusalem, Jeremiah experienced continual opposition from both political and religious leaders of Judah. The occasion that prompted some of his opposition was an address, or perhaps a series of addresses, concerning the temple and the services that were being conducted in it. Because of the formal character of these services and their failure to change the spiritual lives of the people, Jeremiah saw that something very drastic would have to be done in order to bring people to their senses. people were putting their trust in the temple, feeling certain that so long as it remained in their midst, no evil could befall them. For people to understand that the true meaning of religion consists in a change from within rather than conformity to external requirements, Jeremiah felt that it was necessary to undermine the trust that people placed in external objects. Therefore, the prophet declared that the day was coming when the temple would be destroyed, covenant would be taken away, and the nation that called itself the chosen of Yahweh would be taken into captivity. These statements aroused the anger of the priest and King Jehoiakim. Jeremiah was charged with treason and would probably have been put to death had not some of his friends succeeded in hiding him until the wrath of his enemies subsided. When it was no longer considered safe for him to appear in public, Jeremiah dictated a series of oracles in which the policies of King Jehoiakim and his subordinates were severely criticized, and warnings were given concerning what would happen if these were not changed. The scroll on which these oracles were written was sent to the king by a messenger who saw to it that the document was read aloud in the king's presence. King Jehoiakim was displeased as he listened to the reading. Taking the scroll from the reader, he cut it into shreds and then threw the remnants into a fire. When news of what the king had done reached Jeremiah, he dictated the entire scroll over again, adding a specific warning to Jehoiakim, and sent the new copy back to be read again. Nothing that Jeremiah taught during his career was more significant than his doctrine concerning the new covenant. In chapter 31 of the book, we read, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The old covenant, based on laws that were decreed as far back as the time of Moses, was a contract or agreement between Yahweh and the Israelites, in which the people agreed to obey all of the commandments given to them. But the Israelites did not live up to the terms of that agreement, and Jeremiah believed that he knew the principal reasons why they had not done so. The evil desires and wrong motives that were parts of their human nature, the only thing that could bring about a right relationship with God, would be a change of heart, in other words, a new nature. Such change was unattainable except by means of the new covenant, in which Yahweh promises to do for the Israelites that which they cannot do for themselves." Sounds like T.I.'s. "That only God can do for T.I.'s which they cannot do for themselves," and that's changed this program. Speaking for Yahweh, Jeremiah declares, "I will put my life in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Jeremiah concludes by saying that when this is done, specific rules no longer will be necessary in order for people to know how they ought to behave. With changed natures and the right desires present within, people will know what is the morally correct thing to do in any situation. Closely associated with this conception of the new covenant is Jeremiah's teaching concerning individual responsibility. The prophets who preceded Jeremiah usually spoke in terms of social solidarity, which meant that God's relationship to Israel concerned the nation as a whole. All citizens should be judged and either punished or rewarded. When the people of Judah responded to Jeremiah's warning of impending disaster by saying that they were being punished not because of their own sins, but because of the sins of their ancestors, Jeremiah challenged this ancient doctrine. He declared that each individual is accountable for his own conduct. In those days, people will no longer say the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. An analysis of Jeremiah. The individual experience of religion in contrast with mere external forms of worship is the dominant theme in all of Jeremiah's teaching. Again, the individual experience of religion in contrast with mere external forms of worship is the dominant theme in all of Jeremiah's teaching. That means he was really advocating people to get their personal relationships with God together. For him, the relationship between a person and God is the most essential element in genuine religious experience. The external forms of worship, such as the offer of sacrifices, payment of vows, and participation in temple services, are meaningless except insofar as they might contribute toward a changed nature in which God's Spirit takes possession of a person's mind and heart. Jeremiah believed that God used even the Babylon captivity of Jerusalem as a means for bringing the Israelites' people to a full realization of the fact that Yahweh could be worshipped in a strange land without any of the external factors associated with the temple in Jerusalem. In a foreign land, they would learn that true religion is a matter of the heart and can be experienced by any individual who establishes a right relationship with the deity. A lofty conception of religion and one that was far beyond the understanding of the majority of people. Conformity to external requirements is always an easier course to follow. And during the centuries that followed Jeremiah's prophecies, the ritualistic element in religious practices received greater emphasis. Nevertheless, Jeremiah's conception of religion was never lost completely. Some people have always adhered to it, and from time to time, new teachers emphasized Jeremiah's views. So he was encouraging people to have a relationship with God. Stop worrying about the external issues. He was saying, you know, he was more concerned with the relationship people had than the rituals, and they was concerned about where we going to go to church. Very similar today. Many people are concerned about how big that hat is, what kind of dress you're going to have for Easter suit, what that one suit look like, this one has shoes. And it's not about that. It's about relationship with the Most High God. And this is what Jeremiah basically preached. All right. He was always warning the people too about judgment if they didn't change from their wicked ways.
Okay.
Some people always, nevertheless, Jeremiah's conception of religion was never lost completely. Some people always adhered to it from time to time. New teachers emphasized Jeremiah's views. Despite his pessimism with reference to the immediate future of the Judean kingdom, Jeremiah never abandoned the hope that eventually the divine purpose would be realized by his own people in their own land. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, predictions of impending disasters are usually followed by the words, "Nevertheless, I will not make a full end." Jeremiah's hope is symbolized in his buying a piece of land. Even though he was well aware that his personal captivity was close at hand, Jeremiah's own religious life is revealed to a considerable extent in his recorded prayers, which uniquely illustrate the intimate relationship that existed between the prophet and the deity whom he worshiped. These prayers are usually in the form of conversations and are characterized by a sincerity and frankness seldom found in prayer. Jeremiah and heart to God, and did not hesitate to state whatever he felt to be the truth. If he thought God had been unjust in dealing with him, he expressed his complaints in clear and unmistakable terms. But his prayers were never monologues in which he did all of the talking. After he spoke, he would listen for God's response, and the entire conversation would have a significance for him, went far beyond a more formal type of prayer. Jeremiah's personal honesty, as well as his courage and remarkable insights, inspired later generations to admire and esteem him, to respect him. And that's why his book is...
I'm William?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Oh, you weren't here?
I think I was switched over to another call, but now I'm back.
Wow, I didn't do it. Are they messing with my phone?
Yeah, I think they must be.
They put you in another call?
No, someone that called me on my caller ID, and I switched over.
Oh, someone called you?
Yeah, someone called me, and I switched over.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, we're looking at the book of Jeremiah. And he was one of the major prophets, and we're looking at he's giving warnings about the lifestyle that was occurring during that time. And your fan, darling. Okay. All right. You're giving me a hard time with talk show. Unbelievable. All right. So that was just a summary. Let's take it from the Bible. The Christ of Jeremiah, the Messiah. The Messiah is clearly seen in Jeremiah 23:1-8 as the coming shepherd and righteous branch who shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23:5-6. He will bring in the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, which will fulfill God's covenants with Abraham, Genesis 12:1, Moses and the people, Deuteronomy 28:30, and David. The curse on Jehoiakim, also known as Jeconiah and Coniah, meant that no physical descendant would succeed him to the throne. Matthew 1 traces the genealogy of Christ through Solomon and Jeconiah to his legal but not his physical father, Joseph. However, no son of Joseph could sit upon the throne of David, for he would be under the curse of Jehoiakim. Luke 3:23 traces Christ's lineage backward from Mary, his physical parent, through David's other son, Nathan. Merely avoiding the curse, the righteous branch will indeed reign upon the throne of David. What are the keys to Jeremiah? The key words are Judah's last hour. In Jeremiah, God is seen as patient and holy. He delays judgment and appeals to his people to repent before it is too late, as the object lesson at the Potter's house demonstrates. A ruined vessel can be repaired while still wet, but once dried, a marred vessel is fit only for the garbage. God's warning is clear. Judah's time for repentance will soon pass. Because they defy God's word and refuse to repent, the Babylonian captivity is inevitable. Jeremiah lists the moral and spiritual causes for their coming catastrophe. He also proclaims God's gracious promise of hope and restoration. There will always be remnant, and God will establish a new covenant. The key verses are Jeremiah 7:23. The key chapter is Jeremiah 31. Amid all the judgment and condemnation by Jeremiah are the wonderful promises of Jeremiah in chapter 31. Even though Judah has broken the covenants of her great king, God will make a new covenant. When he will put his law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and he'll be their God, and they shall be my people, chapters 31-33. The Messiah instituted the new covenant in his death and resurrection, Matthew 26. Jeremiah is record of the ministry of one of Judah's greatest prophets during its darkest days. He is called as a prophet during the reign of Josiah, the last of Judah's good kings, but even Josiah's well-intentioned reforms cannot stem the tide of apostasy. The downhill slide of the nation continues virtually unabated through a succession of four godless kings during Jeremiah's ministry. The people wallow in apostasy and idolatry and even grow more treacherous than Israel before its captivity. They pervert the worship of the true God, and they give themselves over to the spiritual and moral decay. Because they refuse to repent or even listen to God's prophet, the divine cure requires radical surgery. Jeremiah proclaims an approaching avalanche of judgment. Babylon will be God's instrument of judgment, and this book refers to the nation 164 times, more references than the rest of the Bible. Jeremiah faithfully proclaims the divine condemnation, rebellious Judah for 40 years, and is rewarded with opposition, beatings, isolation, and imprisonment. His sympathy and sensitivity cause him to grieve over the rebelliousness and imminent doom of his nation. He often desires to resign from his prophetic office because of the harshness of his message and his reception, but he perseveres to Judah's bitter end. He is the weeping prophet, lonely, rejected, and persecuted. Although Jeremiah is not easily arranged chronologically or thematically, its basic message is clear. Surrender to God's will is the only way to escape calamity. Judgment cannot be halted, but promises to restoration are sprinkled through the book. Its divisions are the call of Jeremiah in chapter 1, the prophecies to Judah in chapters 2, to 45. The prophecies to the Gentiles are in chapters 46 through 51, and the fall of Jerusalem is in chapter 52. The call of Jeremiah is plain and definite in chapter 1. Jeremiah is called and sanctified before birth to be God's prophet. This introductory chapter surveys the identification, inauguration, and instructions of the prophet. The prophecies to Judah in chapter 2 through 45. Jeremiah's message is through a variety of parables, sermons, and object lessons. The prophet's life becomes a daily illustration to Judah, and most of the book's object lessons are found in this section between chapter 2 and 45. In a series of 12 graphic messages, Jeremiah lists the causes of Judah's coming judgment. The Gentile nations are more faithful to their false gods than Judah is to God. They become a false vine by following idols and are without excuse. The people are condemned for their empty profession, disobedience to God's covenant, and spiritual harlotry. God has bound Judah to himself, but like a rotten waistband that has become corrupt and useless. Jeremiah offers a confession for the people, but their sin is too great. The prophet can only lament for them. As a sign of imminent judgment, Jeremiah is forbidden to marry and participate in the feast. Because the nation does not trust God or keep the Sabbath, the land will receive a Sabbath rest when they are in captivity. Jerusalem will be invaded, and the rulers and people will be deported to Babylon. Restoration will only come under the new shepherd, the Messiah, the nation's future king. Jeremiah announces the duration of the captivity as 70 years, in contrast to the messages of the false prophets who insist it will not happen. Prophecies to the Gentiles are in chapters 46 through 51. These chapters are a series of prophetic discussions against nine nations: Egypt, Philistia, Moab, Ammon, Edom, Damascus, Peter, Elam, and Babylon. Only Egypt, Moab, and Ammon, and Elon are given a promise of restoration. Then the last bit of Jeremiah discusses the fall of Jerusalem. The fall of Jerusalem is covered in chapter 52. Jeremiah's declaration of doom over a period of 40 years was finally vindicated in an event just significant, so significant that it recorded in detail four times in the scriptures. 2 Kings, Jeremiah chapter 39 and 52. In this historical supplement, Jerusalem is captured, destroyed, and plundered. The leaders are killed and the captives taken to Isaiah's death. God called Jeremiah, a young man of about 21, to the difficult but urgent task of proclaiming his word to Judah on the eve of national disaster. The man Jeremiah. Jeremiah's name means God throws. Jeremiah translates the Hebrew word Yirmiyahu, to which has been assigned the literal meaning of Jehovah throws. On the basis of this, various translations have been made, such as Jehovah establishes, Jehovah exalts, Jehovah is. You got dropped, my dear?
Yeah, put me back in, please.
Okay, all right. Welcome, everybody. We have 702. I don't know. Is 702, is that you, Lisa?
Yeah, that's me. I'm 702.
Yeah. Hey, Lisa, how are you, darling?
I'm okay, thank you.
Oh, okay. You familiar with the book of Jeremiah?
No.
Okay, well, that's why we're here. We'll be coming. Familiar. He's a major prophet. He was warning the people about their sins. They would not listen. He was called by God to do this. The times in which he lived were bad. When one reads the history of the times in which Jeremiah lived, he does not wonder that God would no longer bear with his people, though through Isaiah, God had said all he could say to keep them back from ruin, but they would not hearken. So when Isaiah's voice was still, there was virtual silence on God's part for about 60 years. We observe the absence of a prophet during the reign of King Manasseh. If we had Isaiah and good King Hezekiah died when idolatry and numerous heathen abominations began to flourish in the land. This was under the reign of Manasseh, one of the worst of Judah's kings. One of Manasseh's gravest sins was to desecrate the court of the temple by building altars to Baal. Wow. And to set up a graven image in the holy house where God had set his name. Wow. So they were, this king basically tried to change the temple from worship of God to worship of Baal. The moral condition of Judah was rotten. The prophet pungently describes the moral condition of Judah in the days of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 5:31. The prophet's prophecy falsely and the priests rule on their own authority and my people love it so. For 50 years, the king, priests, and people heaped blasphemous insults to God up until the climax was reached, and Judah's doom was irrevocably sealed. Although the judgment was postponed for a while because of the tender heart and righteous life of King Josiah, 25 years after his death, the kingdom of Judah was a thing of the past. Into this political and moral turmoil, God sent Jeremiah to be his spokesperson. Much of Jeremiah's ministry concerned the international situation in which Judah was intimately and preciously involved. We can observe that Canaan was the geographical link between Egypt in the southeast, as well as Syria,